Good. Uberperik yesh be'erichin. I think that's what we're holding, pretty much, right?
Yeah.
Ad heichon tachlis yisurin. Where is tachlis yisurin? Kol she'orgoloi beged dilboish ve'ne miskabel olav. A person that they wove a beged for him, and it doesn't fit. Mazer zir v'tei mashuva nachmeni g'doyle mizu amru. Afel neskam nilimuzet lag b'chamin, o mazer b'tzoynen, b'tzoynen mazer b'chamin. V'at amrit kula hai. I mean, even something as simple as the coffee not being hot enough or too hot, whatever. Marber evdimi ama afilo nefach lechalukai. Rava in Tehr Yisak v'am namasita ton afilo hoishet yod lekis litol sholosh olub yodishtayim. Now, if he has to go back and take out of his pocket another coin. Avashtayim v'ol sholosh loish ein terech lemishtei. Why is it so important to keep emphasizing the this is Yisrael, this counts Yisrael, that counts Yisrael? I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps track of it. So what's the difference to us in terms of telling us what is, what's not? The Tanya Rishmol called She'avra Lo Rabam Yoyim B'lo Yisurin Kibloi Lomai, that anybody that 40 days passed without Yisurin, he was he got his Olam Haba. That's what it sounds like. That's what Maravami Pronis Mizamens like. In Yishalmi, they said that it's worse than that, that even the person is Muchen Chasron for Pronis. Pirish. Ki kol dova shu kineged adam, dova zaniki yisurim. In other words, let's understand the side of Yisurim. Yisurim for us is this. Excuse me a second. Yisurim for us is a negative sensation. In other words, a person, some sort of stimulus that's kind of very negative and hurts and so on. But the reality of it is, the tzad hashava of all Yisurim is something that is at loggerheads with my metzias. I want a parking space, no parking space. Person out there. I want to go to sleep, I can't fall asleep. Anything which is a stira to my metzias is something that falls under the category of yisurin. So that's what yisurim are be'etzim. The sensation we feel is a feedback. The pain. I mean, there are people who unfortunately never feel pain, meaning their nerves don't work. And those people usually die quite early because they don't know that their foot's broken, or they don't care that the foot's broken, and so on. So Yisurim down deep is something which is misnagged to the person's mitzias. So this is a yisoid that's inherent to many things he says, and what's kedai to sort of work it through again. When we speak about olam haze and olam haba, we're not talking only about, you know, it's not the same universe. These are two separate universes with completely different mitzias. Let's take something very simple. When a person in this world gives of his assets to someone else, he has less assets. It may be important to give, it may override his assets, but the mitzias is I have less. From Olam Habadika point of view, I have more. Let's take an example we can even relate to, where two worlds have very different set of things. It used to be, once upon a time, being wealthy meant you sat all day long, you were waited on, you know, for everything, you were allowed to grow big and fat, and that was all the package of being wealthy. You could sit back, just eat and be fat, and not move a muscle. And today, so for many people, that was considered living life, and that was considered a dream existence. Today, many people would be abhorred by it. They want, you know, for them, the idea of being trim and fit, and, you know, doing all the tough golf courses and so on, is what good life is about. and they would look at it as a prison or as a hospital if they'd have to be stuck in a bed doing nothing. I mean, you know, they still would like to be waited on hand and foot for menial things, but exercise and doing stuff and being active is very much what life is about. And those are two worlds that are very different worlds. The sense of, let's take something else, let's take something like Kedusha. A person can look at it as denying himself, and in this world, physical pleasures are what it's about, and a person who denies himself is losing out on it. For another person, it's fakert, the ability to hold myself in tight rein and, you know, decide I won't do it. That itself is his chiyus. So you have different worlds that are that have a different set of values of what chiyus is and what good is and what having it is, and they are at times mutually exclusive. The ruchnius and gashmius are mutually exclusive because it's either one or the other. Gashmius means that reality to me is the physical. And yes, there are wonderful ideas, and they're great and fantastic, but they are not reality. You know, Masha Ein Kein, the other side of it would be that ideas and depth and understanding and so on is reality, and all the other stuff is just kind of a tchotchke, nothing of real chivas. That's two different versions. So ruchnis, a person who is a megushim deka person, is be'etzem not shayach to world of ruchnis. To a person, we would never have any respect. We would have some respect, but we'd never look up to a person as Adam Gadol if we found them to be a very indulgent individual. Even if the indulgences are all glatt, super-duper kosher, and then, you know, everything is al tzad yeset ha'in halacha, and the person still learns how does that, but if we find that he has not just he happens to enjoy an ice cream, but it's something that goes to the core of who he is, then by definition, he's not a ruchnistic person, he's a gashmistic person. That's what he is. I think I've told you once, I was in a, many years ago, this must have been 78, or no, even earlier maybe, in the mid-70s, there was a tragedy befell Yerushalayim, and the Armenian patriarch died. And they sent in another Armenian patriarch, and in the Armenian church, he's the second highest official. That's why he gets to go to Yerushalayim, the highest one sits in Yerevan, in Armenia, and this one goes there. So the new patriarch of the Armenian church came, and at that time the mayor of Yerushalayim was Teddy Kolak. Teddy Kolak was a very, very sophisticated, international type of personality, totally not frum, but charismatic, and he ran all over the world. He was able to get together literally hundreds of millions of dollars to build up Yerushalayim, and he built parks and this and that. You know, he was a very capable mayor, even though from people did not care much for him, and that was Teddy Kolak. So he went to visit him, and in Summer's house they had a Jerusalem Post with a reporter describing the meeting, and I was very curious to see what two such gedolei olam would discuss. What were they talking about? And it says that after exchanging some pleasantries, somehow they realized that they both like chatzilim, and they spent the rest of the time trading their favorite recipes of chatzilim. Now, had this patriarch said some intelligent things that were anti-Semitic, against Israel, whatever that, I would have had a whole lot more respect for the person than the fact that he could spend an hour trading recipes for chatzilim. So somewhere along the line, I had zero interest in anything else the person has to say. You know, if he can actually invest heart and soul in Chatzilim, that's wonderful. But that makes him a Chatzilim person, makes him sort of a housewife of sorts, a wonderful housewife, and that's it. Nothing that I can't, even if the person might be capable and they express themselves nicely on theological things, I just don't feel anything that there's any, you know, there's any value to it. Because that's not his world. His world is Chatzilim. Those are real things. And I was once Lahavdil Elif Alfa Abdullahs. I have one of my uncles in Leibach, one of my wife's uncles in Leibach, is one of the great men, is a big Talmud Chacham, a tremendous tzaddik, Raznishnik, this, that. So I was once by him, and he was telling me that they have a wonderful fruit store downstairs. And my eyes popped because it just was so out of class for the person. And like I sort of looked at him, he said, "You have no idea. Do you realize that he was oimid on the fact that this Kedusha Shvius, even if it comes from here, because it is halacha? And did you ever realize that chiddush?" And he went on explaining how this person came up with all sorts of wonderful hidurim and humris and so on. So then nochadaiti that I realized where it was coming from. I mean, he was very serious about it. I mean, this was to him his life, so he took it very seriously. I'll go upon him. So if a person feels very comfortable in this world, then he's not a ben olam haba. If this world suits him just fine, and there's nothing, there's a beautiful phrase from Avraham Elia Kaplan. He was the most chashuv talmid of Slabodka. He was the favorite of Alta Slabodka. He became the Rosh Yeshiva in Berlin Seminary in his early 30s. Brilliant man, extraordinarily wide person, broad person. He didn't have much chance in life to write a lot. He was nifta very young, in his mid-30s, suddenly passed away. But he's tried to write a new pirush on the whole Gemara, like Rashi, or just more by Richas. He wrote Divrei Musar, he wrote stories, he wrote songs. He was an incredibly rich person. They put out Bikvis Hayira, which is some of his stuff, but the person was an extraordinary person. The Alta was extremely, the Alta was an extreme admiration of him. And he has a famous song that became a song, Shaka Chama, Shaka Nafshi, and it's sort of a melancholy song about that he really feels he's not living a worthwhile living. And there's a phrase there that really rings powerfully. It's Im lazois karas chayim. If this is what you call life, so please tell me, dear God, what is death? Like this is not, you know, there's nothing. My life, you know, is so empty. If I'm calling this life, then there can't be anything beneath that. That's the way he described it. So it's a very different world. Person feels quite comfortable and good in this world. He's not. And you know, it's fascinating sometimes when the how that difference in perspective is plays itself out. You know, everybody is overworked and everybody would love to have a break and a holiday of some sort and so on. But when I see an advertisement with somebody in a golf course without much to do and spend your golden years here, retire at 65 and spend the rest of your life here, and it's meant to be sort of enticing. I think for all of us, the idea of spending the last, you know, as Hashem, 25, 30 years of our lives doing nothing would be horrifying. Yes, every minute that we have to get up early, that we have to, you know, stress ourselves out, this, that, we would like to have a break. But the idea that doing nothing of any consequence, you know, maybe for some people, you know, getting their golf score down is an accomplishment. They feel a tremendous, yeah, it's worthwhile living for that. But for someone who is a bal nefesh of any sort, that's horrifying. If a person feels very comfortable, it's great. I mean, I'll spend 35 years basically doing nothing, and in a very pleasant setting. If a person feels pleased about it, then he's got no shaykhes to olam haba. That's him. Olam Haza shouldn't fit a tzaddik. Olam Habu Nivdal. Kvar Amru Olam Hafach Nivdal. We've explained a few times means there is no point of common denominator. There is nothing. There is no physical pleasure that's ruchnius. There's ruchnius pleasure that's physical. We have physical objects that you can distill out of it the ruchnistic pleasure. But the pleasure of the taste of wine is not olam haba. The pleasure of the kiddush that you make on it, that is olam haba. V'kvar amru olam hafak ra'isi al yoinim lamata v'tachtoinim lamala. He said, you know.
Just a question.
Yes, sure.
Yeah. One ingredient is the taiva, and the other ingredient is the tam.
Yes.
Isn't tam in some way connected to ruchnius de kazachet?
So tam is more refined than the etzem taiva zachila. A person who just bangs down food without really discerning the tam certainly is a very low darga. And some sense of the flavor and so on is definitely more refined. Just like music is a more refined pleasure than football would be or whatever. But in terms of pure ruchnius, since we're talking about a physical tam and not much more than that, it's not a ruchnius ticket. But it's certainly on the scale of being more coarse and more refined, it's certainly more refined, but it's still far cry from any real ruchnistic content.
But I'm saying, like, you thought the man had only tam, so it
right.
Had something connected to something ruchnius, or I don't know what.
So correct that tam is one of the chushim of a person. Interesting you mention it. It's something, I guess, people needed that still. They couldn't live without it. They were not on a madrega to live without tam. It's just like a person, even if we'd be nourished. Imagine, people have a food tube and all the nourishment goes in through the stomach. They physically are getting all the nourishment they need, but you really lose, unless you have some other things you're really interested in, you begin to lose your cheshek to live because there's no food that ever, no pleasure of food. So I guess my assumption was they still needed the level of tam. They weren't totally minutic from it. It says when he died, he said, I saw an opposite world. What you saw is really the right picture. It's opposite of us, but in essence, the picture of Olam Haba is right, and Olam Haba and Olam Haza is wrong, and it is the opposite of that. Well, the fikach im hu mem yoyim b'mispei tzias adam le'yisurin im keinu nikro bal olam hazeh u'mesolik mo olam hanifto. The number mem is a number that appears in many different contexts, and it is the number of development of something. Let's take a minute where it comes from. The number mem is 4 times 10, which is 10 spheres by 4 olamos. Tzilus, Briah, Yetzirah, and Asiyah. So it's a sort of a full complement. And Arboim is the number which is usually when, you know, for total development, the 40 days from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, the Arboim Yom Kodesh Tzias Avlad, the Arboim Shana Klai Yisrael on the Midbar, Atoim Kol HaDor, you know, as you had to bring a whole new door into being, 40 represents in many ways a totality of development. Ozu ba'olam hazeh, v'u mesulik min olam haba. V'chein amr oidin sechtes brachis. Loi nivra oilam haze elo la'acha v'chaverov. V'olam ha'vel v'chanin b'dois v'chaverov. V'chanin l'aisu was an extremely ascetic person. Kloima. Ki achav shelom haba klal, ukach olam haze. In other words, achav is someone who has no olam haba. So olam haza sits well on him. When he said loniv olam haza achav averev means everybody else, their conscience doesn't allow them to enjoy olam haza fully. The fact that the hashgacha is working at getting them olam haba is something which also creates yisurim and so on. And achav, he can enjoy olam haza to its fullest. The chol dava nivra b'shvil dava sheroy elov legamri ulkach lenivra olam haza rak lachav. V'chein Rabbi Chinam and Doisa was the opposite. Shoyla nias gadol, it was totally ascetic. V'day loy b'kav charuvin, and he is. It's enough to have a kav charuvin. V'imkein hu hefach olam haza ulafikach roam yuchad el olam haba. He has no shaykh olam haza. So his whole metzius is told olam haba person. But the kach ne nivra olam haba rak lechnei and daisa. Okvar amarnu keilumem yoim kineged olam haba. Shebe ilumem yoim shubloy yisurin kibul olam shalosh she roiloy olam haba. V'nosan chelke olam haza. In other words, every person has a world that belongs to him. He has his world, and he received his chelek in this world. Meaning, it's not as if, I mean, you know, the pasha, the way we normally learn it would be that it's like a currency that you convert. I have X amount of credits in Olam Haba. I can exchange it for Olam Haza credits, and I can get Olam Haza for it. That's not quite that's not the way he learns it. His understanding is, if I can be 40 days in this world and everything is just fine and perfect, then it's something which means that my world is this world. It's almost by definition. This world is my world. There's no other, you know, I'm comfortable in this world. I live this world. It's one of the things also, you know, I guess you see it when you try to do something that is a positive something that's a good thing. Toridica, you know, you want to establish something, an institution, something or other. There's always issues with it until it's able to get itself going. It's something which is constantly, you know, it's not pashit. When things in organizations that don't seem to be that, things seem to be a lot easier. A lot they gain popular people. It always seems the people who are there to be oikotayr and so on. The more they're trying, the easier it is for them. The more popular it is, the more they're quoted and so on. And when you're trying to do something tiredic and good, it's difficult. And the reason is because it is against the grain of the world. What you're trying to do, if you want to be not tiredic and pull back, you're telling people life is good as it is. Nothing, no problems. People like to hear that. It's great. But when you tell people we need to change, we need to do differently, we need to be better, we need to be different, we need to be more ruchni and anything of that nature, it's a struggle. It's an uphill struggle. Anything that comes with ease tends to be, you know, it's suspect. So he says,
just a question.
Yes.
What's the difference between Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa and Rabbi Chanina ben Yoim? Eastern ascetic who's also got no connection to this world.
So the Eastern ascetic, first of all, he is trying to connect to something, and in many ways it's fascinating. They don't, the world that they are picturing It's not in no way dovetails with our world. Our world's values are very proactive values of active study, active doing. In a certain sense, their philosophy is, so long as you negate want, desire, ambition, you will be at perfect rest, because the thing that makes you restless and active and the need to get things is because you have desires and wants. Have no desires, have no wants, and just float and things will be fine. We don't feel that. We believe a person should be striving, but the good we're talking about is a very different type of good. And we believe a person's life in this world is, you know, we should tarap erev Shabbos. It should be with a lot of people. You know, we posit that in this world, unless a person is active and achieving, he's an unhappy person. So yes, you can sort of anesthetize or castrate your ambitions, and then you're not going to be unhappy, but that's it. You just float away your life. That's, I guess, where Eastern ascetics are coming from. We believe a person needs to have tremendous tshukas and tremendous ambition, but in a very different world than the physical world we're in. Void, are amarno ki yisur mechonom habak, when jizbar la malet, it's a gimel netno yidei yisurin. Kashar aboyim yoyim lo yisurin, ki misbar aboyim yoyim umyuchut sha'olom haba sikhli, shatera sikhli zibayim yoyim. Kashu memim lo yisurin, shatera mesalkin zgufat shubin olom haba, ozbolom haza vu misulk min ol haba. So it gives a little bit of a different knach in terms of the need to have yisurin so that the person is shayach. To the yisurin themselves are making the person, because innately we're all physical and we need some darga of sort of polishing to get there. As we just saw, ואויד כי הנשמה ניתנה באדם באילו מהם יוים, והנשמה נבדלס, ועל הנשמה רואה אולם הבא. ולפי כך אם הוא מהם יוים בלא יסורין, קיבל חלק מן אולם הבא. כן רואה לאדם שישולם כל אולם הזה, שאין האדם בעל השלמה עד אולם הבא. ואז יושלם האדם לגמרי. I want to use a certain הרגשה that we have that goes against, that sort of expresses this point. He says that it's not royal for a person to have the shleimus in this world, the shleimus olam hazeh, and you know, and so on. Let's a lot of times when a person looks at his fantasies, you can tell a lot from your fantasy. A person, when you ask a person, what is your dream house? And the answer is always a place that is perfect. In other words, everything will be al hatzar yosa tov. There's a certain sense. It's more than a sum total of all of the amenities put together. It's like, you know, there are some people, for instance, let's give an example. You take a yeshiva bacha and you bring him to some sort of party. If there's a lot of food, he's very happy. Yeah, this food, that food, the other food, it turns out. A very, very classy balabasta will not look at it that way. She'll say, you know, there was too much starch and not enough of a variety of colors. You need some sort of crispy, a contrast to the mushiness of the potatoes. I don't know. You need the colors. You need this, that, the other thing. And yourself, because a person who lives that sees a certain shlemus in the tzura of it, whereas a bacha who just wants a lot of it, he's happy, loves food, and wants a lot of it, and that's that. So we have here two different types of hagoshes ninyan. One is the person who is extremely just type, and a person that sees a certain shlemus in it. And when we think of a dream house, we say to ourselves, the thing that'll be perfect. And in down deep, that type of fantasy is, I will have found everything I want and need. So by thinking that way, we definitely get a sense that Olam Hazeh can carry certain shlemus for us. So he says, So a person has us of both. We have our sense of shlemus in this world, we have a sense of shlemus in the other world. But oid, can a shaman nitna bodem beilumem yoim? Van a shaman if delas, van a shaman roy lalam haba. Well, a fikach imumem yoim below yisurin, kibble chalkum alam haba. Kein roy la odem she sholim klal balam haza, she ein ho odem bala shloma al olam haba. Was yushlam odem the gamri. I'll share. Sometimes you hear somebody express something, and it gets you. Like sometimes you feel that person said a mouthful in a sentence. Many years ago, there was somebody in the yeshiva who married into a very nice family. The family was a quite comfortable family, quite Torahdic. You know, kind of a little bit of background, but quite Torahdic. Nothing. But the woman of the house was the house was one of these people who was a big perfectionist and aristocratic and with a tremendous need to have it that way. It wasn't just that this was her way. This was kind of an issue that sort of was more important on the list of important things in the world than most other things. So she was planning the wedding, and she invested a tremendous amount of money, and even more than money, time and effort and thought and who knows what. And some hitch at the last minute, there was a realization that the person walking under the chuppah, there's a minig, it should be a couple, not just one person, and it required the possibility of having someone else walk under the chuppah accompanying the chassan also than just his mother, whatever. So the other family, the woman who was planning it, was putting a lot of pressure, and I couldn't figure out why. I mean, and she got back to me and she said, you know, I put a lot of time and effort to plan the perfect wedding, and she'd written up programs when the program had said that so-and-so will be walked down by his mother, and now it's going to be his mother and his brother, whatever it is. And, you know, she made a comment to me, like, you really are out to ruin the perfect wedding. I was thinking back. I mean, first of all, the havamina that somebody actually reads this nonsense, was kind of mind-boggling to me. And the idea that the perfect wedding is... This is the shlemus. It just blew me away. But the second half was, she got back to me and apologized, and she said, you know, I really ought to work harder. She said, if you tell me that the right thing is this, I'll be up all night tonight, and we'll reprint the programs to have it the way it's going to be. You know, and I guess as a byline, this person's level of shlemus in this world has been a hindrance for her in many ways in relationship with people and things like that. But the idea of just being shlemus, so what? You know, yes, you're supposed to plan anything you do well, you know, you don't want the person coming to the wedding and scratching and saying, oh, there was supposed to be a main meal, wasn't there? I forgot all about it. You want a person to invest time and effort. It should be nice. But this thing was, I have attained shleimus, and this is shleimus. It had nothing to do with wanting to make it nice or fine or comfortable. It had to do with perfection, and those are the words the person used: the perfect wedding. And you know, you really really intend to mess up the perfect wedding. She's found perfection, and you know that's the goal. And I was just shter the perfection. And it was, you know, a person can't have, this word can't be shalom. It doesn't work that way, because that's not where we are. It's going to be, you know, it's somewhere along the line. It's like when you try on somebody else's suit. If let's say you're stuck and you had to buy someone else's suit for something or shirt, you expect it not to be fit you exactly. That's what you expect. You hope it fits okay and decently. But if it'd be a perfect fit, you would think it's kind of very spooky. Lefikach, yeah. V'dovazu b'ayin kamei kremes ke'odem b'shalom b'olam hazeh. V'dovazu tochelos yisrael v'tikvasam sh'oim dem olam haba. Kasher lo kiblu olam v'lo b'shalom rak b'chisorim b'shalom yisrael b'olam haba. So Klal Yisrael as a whole, who has not received anything near shleimus in this world, their hope is that it's over there. V'hefach z'oisam sh'b'olam hazeh b'shalom. V'dovazu yirish shekvar nishlam adegosam v'olam haba. So umas olam that have made it here big and in a certain shleimistic way, that's what they are. They're umas of this world, umas ha'olam. Umasha amu b'marava shumuchal puranis davzei b'ane barichus b'prokim mashaman b'chol makom shetimtzei yeshiva sasat mekatrik mashrachnu kol makom shetimtzei yeshiva sasat mekatrik. We saw it in our chadash and other places that anytime you have things that seem to settle in and seem to find their shleimus within on this world, there's always puranis. Okay, any questions, any points? Okay, so good Shabbos.
Shabbos, thanks for
Call to bye.
Shabbos,
bye.